Hey, it's me, Lars Larson. Thanks for checking out my podcast, and be sure to tell a friend about the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to be with you on a Wednesday. Although tragic events in Virginia today as political terrorism visited the state of Virginia. The only man who died was the terrorist himself, identified as James Hodgkinson. Five people shot and wounded, including the number three ranking Republican in the United States Congress, Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise. And this is what it sounded like. Two people remain in critical condition at this hour with their wounds. Only because Scalise is in the House leadership was he entitled to an armed security guard, two of them, police officers, one man, one woman, both wounded, who shot Hodgkinson and stopped further bloodshed. The dead man, identified as a campaign volunteer of failed presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. In recent months, Hodgkinson sounded off on his social media accounts with comments like, "Republicans are the Taliban of the USA," a reference to the religious group that once terrorized Afghan men and women. He's also quoted as saying, "Trump is a traitor."
People have been calling 911 already.
"Trump has destroyed our democracy. It's time to destroy Trump and company." And this is what he did today. Man is now dead, the terrorist, and 14 million Americans have chosen to get permits to carry guns for self-defense. Incidents like the shooting today show why Americans can and should be prepared to defend themselves. One member of Congress, Ron DeSantis from Florida, said that as he was leaving the practice field this morning, just before the shooting, a man who DeSantis believes was the terrorist walked up and asked him whether those on the field were Republicans or Democrats. DeSantis answered Republicans, and then the congressman left. There's been amazing anger directed to Republicans and conservatives in this country over the last 6 months. Many of us have seen that anger in violent and destructive demonstrations outside our own windows in the cities of major American cities like Seattle and like Portland. The anger is exclusively directed at Donald Trump and those of us who have supported him, even conservatives who've been silent on the issue. A bad man with a gun is almost always stopped by good men with guns, and that was the case today as well. Let's go to your calls now. Vern's on the line. Hey, Vern, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
Well, thank you there, Lars. I just want to make a quick comment because I know you have a lot of other people.
I do.
There's the Hegelian dialectic that I wanted to, present to you, and you're going to have to look it up, I suppose, if you don't know what it is already.
I do.
And I don't know whether that is true in this case or not. I will tell you that I like to know what is going on. You know, I don't just like assume something, but it's something to think about.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Hello? Vern, I think, has lost touch with us, but go ahead and see if you can reconnect him. I'll put him back on. Let's go to Bill in Eugene, who's a naysayer. Hey, Bill, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. Where do you and I disagree?
Well, there's a reason why you're known as the Northwest leader in fake news and alternative facts. First off, in about the Shakespearean Company in New York, they did run the play with Barack Obama as Julius Caesar. A couple years ago, but it takes a snowflake Republican to complain about it.
Snowflake Secondly, Republicans?
Yeah, you guys whine about everything. Secondly, a year and a half ago, there were three self-described white supremacist Trump supporters who fired shots into a Black Lives Matter event in Milwaukee, wounding five people. I didn't hear you call that a political terrorism.
Which case was that?
In Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
White supremacist Trump supporters shooting into a Black Lives Matter protest, wounding five people. You didn't even talk about it because, of course, you approve of it.
I would beg to differ with you. And first of all, the New York presentation has not been done by that, although there was.
It has the exact same group put it on. Look it up.
Shoot me the link.
Because I looked at this and none of the coverage.
Unlike you, I
okay.
Would,
you don't want
to sit in front of a computer.
What's that?
I said, unlike you, I work for a living. I'm not sitting. In front
oh, I work for
computer.
A living, Bill.
I work a real job.
I mean, if you think I'm going to react to that, Bill, I do work for a living. I do a show.
I do a
radio show that is the most popular talk show in the Pacific Northwest. I have.
Look it up, Laz.
Well,
look it up. You have a computer.
Okay, Bill, you're just repeating yourself at this point. I'd like to engage in a conversation, but I don't think Bill wants to do that. Let's. If you don't have Vern back, let's go to Vito. Hey, Vito, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Greetings, sir. Just wanted to say that we spoke a few times last year. We debated. I was on the Cruz campaign team, but wasn't super fighting for Trump, but I'm pleasantly surprised, my friend. I remember you asked me why I was so against him, but I'm pleasantly surprised with what he's been doing. He's been holding his word. But the reason I'm calling specifically today is I went down to the rally two Sundays ago, and I had two large flags on the back of my truck, a Blue Lives Matter flag and a American flag. And I was heading into the rally right around 2 o'clock, and I did not know that the Antifa punks had gathered across the street, which I think it would be like west of where the Trump rally was. And unfortunately, I had to drive past that block where all the Antifa guys were. And I mean, to my shock, they started pelting my truck with eggs, water bottles, and even slingshotted locks at it. I got a few nice dings out of it. And they ended up stealing my flags, and I don't know if people have seen the footage, but they burned a Blue Lives Matter flag, and I was pulled off of my truck. And I mean, I was just driving in front of these guys. I wasn't even trying to look at them because I knew that they could have been a threat.
And that's the way it goes, isn't it? Because the violence always seems to come from one side directed at the other side. And I've challenged people to show me an example where conservatives went out in a mob and burned something down or engaged in those kinds of violent acts. I will look up the Minnesota case the man remembers from 3 or 4 years ago, although he wasn't specific enough for me to look up that particular case. It's a little tough without a name because there have been so many incidents over the last 5 or 6 years. But unfortunately, you know, what you experience is the kind of violence that is directed at people who are conservatives in this country, unfortunately.
Yeah. Just driving by with the flag, man. I mean, it's just disgusting.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I appreciate the call. Let's go to Curtis in Bonnie Lake listening on KVI. Hey, Curtis, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Okay. What I'm worried about is national reciprocity. Okay?
Yeah.
We're going to let the feds get their foot in the door.
Mm. Don't they have their foot in the door with the Second Amendment right now?
Yes, they do.
Doesn't the Second Amendment apply in every part of America?
No, but Washington
shall
issue a state. Yes, they do.
Don't I have the same Second Amendment rights in all 50 states and the District of Columbia? I seem to remember the Supreme Court saying that was the case.
Yes, you do. But the states have the rights to make their own Well, they do make their own laws regarding this.
Well, they do, except for one thing. You understand that the federal constitution provides the floor. You can go above it in protecting rights to a greater extent. You can't take rights away below it. So, for example, when the state of Alabama decided to deny black kids the right to go to public schools, the federal government said, no, you can't do that because they have civil rights that apply in Alabama or any other state in America. And by the same token, I've got Second Amendment rights that should apply in every single state. So why would they not have reciprocity across state lines?
And the thought of that just makes me tingle. I mean,
why?
I love the thought of it.
Oh, you do?
Well,
okay.
I do like it because I am a concealed carrier.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to just travel state, but legally. But, as soon as you let the feds get in there.
You act as though the feds are not in there now. The federal constitution applies in all 50 states. You agreed to that.
Yes, I do agree to that.
So do you think that a state should
But now you are, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. now you are allowing them to tell, okay, like say, Washington is a shallow carry state.
Shallow issue state.
Yep. Oregon, not so much.
No, Oregon's a shallow issue state. I know
well,
most
if
of the states.
You live in Oregon, but I'm
no. I don't live in Oregon. You can get a permit in Oregon. California, you cannot get unless you're a California resident, and there are a few states like that. But in Oregon and Washington, it's both shallow issue. You walk in and meet the criteria, you get a permit.
That's true.
Okay.
But well, I know, but you not walk in. I mean, right now I've been told that they are not issuing. Out of state.
That's not true. You have to wait.
Okay.
You have to wait longer, but you still get a permit because some of the counties are very backed up. But unlike Washington State, you can go to any county you want. So you don't have to live in the county where you get your permit. Now, it may be that they'll give preference to the people who live in their counties, but I've told people before.
You just have to live in a state bordering Oregon. But and I do hope you're telling me I'm wrong.
I believe
but,
you are.
Okay.
Because I know people who've obtained, but the problem is if you call a busy county, Multnomah County is a busy county, and you say, I want to get a permit, and they say it's going to be 6 months. Call one of the less populated counties, Wasco County, Columbia County, Coos Bay, or Coos County. Call any of those, and you'll be in much better shape. I appreciate the call. Back in a moment, you've got the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Pleasure to be with you, and glad to get your phone calls and emails. Still can't find any sign of that Julius Caesar production involving Barack Obama as the key character, but we're still looking at that one. Can't find it today, though. Patrick is on the line. Hey, Patrick, welcome to the Radio Northwest Network. What's on your mind?
Well, domestic terrorists, international terrorists, it's all the same. People need to wake up and be prepared, get their concealed weapons permit. Oregon is shall carry or shall issue in 45 days, and it's not hard at all. So you know, you got to be a regular guy. You can't be a felon or, you know, a weirdo.
I think that's a great set of criteria. No felons, no weirdos. Everybody else apply, you know, can apply. I think you're right. And that's why when the gentleman said Oregon is not a shall carry, that's simply not true. And Washington State is the same way. Walk into your neighborhood sheriff's office and just lay down the money, fill out the form, put down your fingerprint, let them run you through a background check, and you're relatively good to go. Let's go to Liz in Medford. Hey, Liz, thanks for listening on KMED. What's on your mind?
Hi, Lars. Thanks for being there for the conservatives in the Pacific Northwest.
I do what I can.
You do good.
Thank you.
So I watched the Jeff Sessions hearing last night online, and I was utterly incensed by Ron Wyden, who looks like he used Botox.
That
Pelosi, that's beside.
You know what, ma'am? I had planned, but for what happened in Virginia today, to bring up that very issue, because Ron Wyden embarrassed the Northwest by his treatment of Jeff Sessions, right?
I agree.
I mean, it was crazy. He kept trying to back Sessions into a corner, and Sessions wasn't doing it. And I think Ron Wyden embarrassed himself. It was foolish.
Well, you know, he represents Oregon in name only. He lives in New York. His wife owns a house in Maryland. He is one of the many entrenched elitists who are out of touch with the goings on of the working class people in Oregon. And his assault against AG Sessions was uncalled for, but it is, in my opinion, indicative of the whole Democratic agenda, which is rooted in that word globalism. They're not going to stop. Oh, there's still smoke. No, they are the ones blowing the smoke.
No,
they're the ones creating the hysteria. The shooting today. So they went on the floor and, oh, gee, it was a terrible thing because it happened to one of us. But I have heard no leader from the Democratic or the Republican Party to any degree come out against this domestic terrorism, these Antifa punks. They will not stand up to the Democrats. They're just, I'm angry beyond the point of even defining it.
You know, I have the same kind of anger you do, that
For 8 long years, we listened to President Obama use terms like enemies to refer to Republicans. And when there were violent acts during the campaign, I wished out loud on the radio, I said, the president should come out and say something about this. He should have said something that helped the situation in, say, Ferguson. He didn't. The situation in Florida involving Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, he didn't. He threw gasoline on the fire. And then after the election,
out of Ferguson was BLM.
Yeah, that's what grew out of it. And BLM is now a force, you know, that will march into an American community. And usually in the Northwest, the local politicians are scared to death to say anything about them. Because, again, a standard set down by the president, which said, if you criticize a person of color in this country, you're not criticizing them for their position, even though that's what you're talking about. You're criticizing right. them because you don't like black people. Well, that's ridiculous.
It's stupid. It's absurd.
So it set this kind of stage that we have now, where we are now, especially in the Northwest, seeing routinely protest after protest after protest, where they'll push the boundaries farther and farther. We'll see how many things can we break? How long can we shut a city down? How many freeways can we shut down? How many businesses can we close? How many cops can we throw things at? And when the politicians back down to that, then more and more violent acts happen at the next instance. And I think a lot of it has set the stage for this kind of thing. This guy, I think it's fair to say that everybody who goes out and commits an act of violence like this has mental problems. But simply saying they have mental problems, if they're directing them because of a political agenda, we call that terrorism. I mean, after all, to a devout Sharia Muslim, going out and killing infidels is not an act of terrorism. It's an act of faith. And they see it that way. If you can step into their, you know, twisted shoes and try to see the world through their eyes, I don't need to do that. I need to understand that if you go out and harm innocent people for no reason other than a political agenda, like Mr. Hodgkinson did this morning before he was finally brought down by the Capitol Police, you're a terrorist. And I wish people would come out and call it for exactly what it is. It is domestic terrorism in aid of a political agenda. And the current agenda is Donald Trump and anybody who sided with the president of the United States. You've got the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. I want to dip into just a moment this news conference that's going on. This is Tim Slater, FBI special agent in charge after the shooting this morning in Virginia.
The shooter's home, his residence is Belleville, Illinois. The subject's vehicle was located on scene and has been swept by Alexandria PD and the ATF. And we will be processing with our FBI evidence recovery team as well.
All right. They're continuing to get information about Hodgkinson, the terrorist who attacked that baseball practice session, that batting practice session that was going on in Virginia when he attacked with apparently either a rifle, a pistol, or both. And we'll get you more details as they're available. It's a real pleasure to welcome back to the program Liz Pike, who the last time she was on, Representative Pike was telling us about a fantastic bill that was dead in the legislature, and it was facing a veto probably by Governor Jay Inslee. And all it sought to do was turn some low production agriculture land near rail lines into high production land to be used for industry. And we thought your cause was lost at that point, Liz. Welcome back and congratulations.
Well, thanks, Lars. I've got mixed emotions about the current status of the bill. While I'm elated that, you know, it lives again, because that's the bright side of special sessions. You know, we're in a second overtime session to finish our budget by June 30th. But the bright side of that is that bills that previously didn't pass can be brought back to life. And there was a Senate companion version of my bill that is still in play. And I was negotiating after the governor vetoed my GMA rail bill. I was negotiating in good faith with the governor's office to try to come up with a more narrow version. And the reason why I'm a little bit disappointed in the current version is it only includes the policy as it applies to Clark County. And, you know, on my farm, Lars, we have a saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And this policy is good for Clark County. It's going to help us bring jobs, much needed jobs, to our rural areas. And if it's good for Clark County, gosh darn it, it'd be good for eastern parts of the state too, which is what I was trying to get out of the governor, was to get him to allow and agree to sign a bill that would include at least a couple of counties in eastern Washington. I didn't think we were asking for much, but some funny business happened kind of behind the scenes where the governor was offered a Clark County-only version, and why would he accept, you know, two or three counties when he was being offered a Clark County-only version? But I'll take it. It's a crumb, but it represents thousands of jobs for Clark County, which is a good thing. And as you know, Lars, I represent Clark County. That's always the closest, dearest work to my heart, is what I can do right here for my citizens in Clark County. But I wish that we could have got a few more counties in there as well. But I'm going to absolutely wholeheartedly support this measure and see it all the way to the governor's desk. And after it gets enacted, we can prove to the rest of the state that this policy is good for jobs, it's good for rural Washington, and perhaps we can expand it in future legislative sessions. So
well,
I'm happy about it.
Representative Pike, I think you're hiding your light under a bushel basket, because I think you've got far more than this. And I'll tell you, and let me give you a couple of thoughts just so people can understand what's going on here. In the whole state of Washington, this only applies to Washington, the land use policies say that ag land has to be protected at all costs, which means, if I remember the numbers you shared with me right, you could have a piece of land that might produce two or three agriculture jobs. And if somebody chooses to own it for that and, you know, produce two or three jobs and a modest amount of income, that's okay. But if they turned it into industrial land because it sits right next to a rail line and can accommodate industry of some kind, that you could have hundreds of jobs on the same piece of land that in agriculture would only produce four or five. Do I have the numbers about right?
That's about right. And actually, to your point, Lars, I would encourage your listeners to go to my Facebook page. It's just Liz Pike on Facebook. And a couple of days ago, I posted an excellent article by the Cato Institute on why states in the country should start repealing their Growth Management Act. And it makes the case for exactly what you're talking about. And the fact that we have an abundance of farmland in this country, some of which is being underutilized. And why not turn that into jobs-producing land? We're always going to have enough farmland. It's not even a consideration. And I think we have to look at the root of what growth management really is, and it's a way to shut down rural development, to keep people from living on their land and being able to use their land for jobs. And that's all this is.
Well,
you know, a way to shut it down.
Here's the other piece. I'm a fan of agriculture too, Representative Pike. You've seen pictures of me and you've seen me in person. You know I like to eat. But if you're a farmer and your neighbor says, well, gosh, I'm not making that much on my farm, I'll sell it and we'll put an industry there, and that justifies better rail service to that, I would imagine that has some spinoff benefits for all the farmers who usually have to transport their goods, right?
Well, absolutely. And Lars, the Washington State Farm Bureau wholeheartedly supported my bill in its original form. They continue to support it today. And Lars, you probably know this, maybe you don't, but I'm a farmer myself. I have a 2-acre organic farm in Fern Prairie, just north of the Camas city limits. And what I have is intensive small farm agriculture, and that's becoming a very popular thing, and it's particularly enticing for the younger generation, the millennials, who actually want to get back to the land, and they can't afford a big giant parcel of land. And unfortunately, in Clark County, a lot of our large tracts of land are locked up because of GMA and because of flawed policy by current county officials. But we need to set policy that encourages the next generation to be small parcel ag farmers, because there is a way to make a living on a small ag, and we're seeing more and more small ag parcels around the state and around the country. But bottom line is, I'm glad that the bill's at least moving forward again.
Well, Representative Pike, the other thing I think that you've hit on is the market system, and here's what I want to suggest. For the legislature, the next time there's an idea, I know you'd rather have this be applied to a lot more of the state, maybe even all of the state, but wouldn't it be a great technique to use to say, oh, no, We're only giving it to these two counties or this one county. And then you start to brag to them about how well it's working in your county. And why don't you folks have this? And they say, we don't know. Why are we getting cheated out of this opportunity? And you say, well, you should call Governor Inslee and call your friends who are Democrats in the legislature and ask them why they were unwilling to give you that. And at some point when their phone lines melt down, they may, you know, just have a come to Jesus with the governor about how things have to be. And they'll change the law because they'll say, we're being cheated in Spokane County out of all the great opportunities that are available in Clark County, and that's not fair. And I think that would be a great way to do that. The other concern I've got, though, is the one you just addressed. You're in, you know, second overtime now with the legislature. It sounds as though not everybody, but a lot of the people in Olympia seem to be of the kind that, you know, had a 50-page paper due on Monday, and they started it on Sunday night back in school, and they got away with it back then. How is it we allow a major institution, whether it's in Olympia or Salem, to say we're going to take all the work and we're going to spend months and months in the state capitol and we're not going to get any of it done, and then we're going to all try to rush it all through at the 11th hour? That just seems like a company that ran that way. If Boeing or Microsoft or Intel or Nike ran that way, they'd be out of business pretty soon. Why do we allow the legislature to run that way?
I agree, Lars. I'm just as disappointed as the taxpayers, and obviously you are. This is the arguments that we're having now are the same arguments that we could have had in April at the end of session and find some compromise, but without tax increases. And here's the thing, Lars. When you have one side that wants to raise billions, and I'm talking billions, billions of new tax dollars, and the state is already getting another $3 billion in new revenue just because the economy is getting better. I just don't know how some legislators look themselves in the mirror and say, yeah, we want to take even more money out of people's pockets. And so I think we could have got this done in April. I wish that we would have done that. I wish that the folks in the room could have come to an agreement without raising taxes, because that's my thing, is I just never forget that every dollar that government spends is a dollar that we took from hardworking Washington families. So there's no excuse for raising taxes in an economy like we have right now, robust growing economy. So I'm disappointed, and I got to tell you, Lars, I mean business. If I was in charge, we would have finished in April. And I'm not meaning any disrespect to the folks in the room, but there's got to be a way to sit down eyeball to eyeball and have these discussions in April instead of June.
I think I couldn't agree with you more. And congratulations. It sounds like this one is a done deal. Jay Inslee will sign it. It will work. And then you can make all those other counties in the state very, very jealous. And then they can start beating on Governor Jay Inslee's door.
Yes, we will do that. But the only bad thing about it is we with this bill and the way it is right now, we have picked winners and losers in the state. But we'll fix it in subsequent sessions. I will work.
Well,
very hard
you haven't picked them. Their representatives have picked it. And if the representatives of some of those other counties have not seen fit to go out and make the case for it, well, you know, they get the short end of the stick. And then they fix it next time after their constituents start reminding them this summer or before the next election, why didn't you take this opportunity to benefit us? And I'll tell you what, I'll help you spread the word.
Thank you, Lars.
It's my pleasure. Representative Liz Pike, back in just a moment. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show. Oh, we finally found the other version of Julius Caesar. And the reason nobody noticed it back during the Obama years is it was put on in Minneapolis, not in New York City. And no, I'd plead guilty. If somebody had told me about it at the time, I'd have had an objection to the assassination of any president, including the last one. Let's go to Lee in North Bend. Hey, Lee, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind? Hello, Lee? Lee ain't there. So let me tell you one thing I've been doing on a regular basis with the NBC affiliate here in our home studio city of Portland, and that's KGW. I do a little back and forth. We call it left hook, right jab, because Steve Novick has made himself famous as a city commissioner because he has his left hand is a prosthetic hand, and it is a hook. And so he's always called himself the guy with the hard left hook. And I always said, well, I'm the guy with the right jab. So we call it left hook, right jab. And he does the left side of something, an issue, and I do the right side of it. And it's on their news. Well, tonight we're going to do it tonight. And I said, we have to do this subject of what has happened today in Virginia with this Bernie Sanders supporter attempting to murder people, apparently simply because they are Republicans. A man who went on his social media and said that Republicans are the Taliban of the USA and that that Donald Trump and company need to be destroyed. This is the man who is now dead, who carried out the terrorist act in Virginia. Well, we're going to do that tonight. It'll be in the 6 o'clock hour of the KGW Channel 8 News. And I know not all of you will be able to see it. So Carl Sundberg, the producer, the executive producer of this program, has agreed that tomorrow we will post the video of our left hook, right jab, if you happen to miss it. But it's on tonight on KGW in the 6 o'clock news. And it should be a lively one because I said we had planned to talk about another issue. We usually talk about one issue that's in the news or another. I said we need to talk about what has happened in Virginia today and about the level of political discourse and about the now violent anger of the political left in this country that is now being aimed at those of us who call ourselves conservatives and Trump supporters. Let's go to Mark in Seattle. Mark, thanks for listening on KVI. What's on your mind? Hello, Mark. Mark, you're not listening. Good golly. I don't know what's going on. Well, I'll tell you what, put Mark back on hold. Guys, will you check and see if Mark is actually there? And let's go in the meantime to Pete. Hey, Pete, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
Hi, Lars. I'll get right to the point. I'd kind of like to put a positive spin on the Caesar in the Park.
Yeah.
Depiction I saw of this character that depicted Trump showed one heck of a fighter. The guy comes up behind him. He flips him over the podium. The woman comes at him with a knife. She throws her on the ground, and two guys grab him, and he kicks a third one. And, I mean, he really went down fighting. So the image I got was pretty positive.
Well, that's except that at the end of the day, Julius Caesar always ends up dead, right?
Yeah, that's the sad point. And
Do you think it's appropriate for anyone, even in an artistic production, to depict the assassination of an American president?
Absolutely not. I'm in that respect, I'm totally against it.
See, and that's the part I have a problem with. And apparently they did put on a production of this play in Minneapolis, Minnesota, 4 or 5 years ago. And yes, something that happened in Minneapolis seems to have escaped my notice, although I keep a close eye on Minneapolis. But, you know, for them to defend it and for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival to defend it, I just think is ridiculous to suggest that that this would have been appropriate. It's not appropriate. And I every time, even during Obama's tenure in office, if anybody ever on this program, and there were a few occasions where people would try to suggest, well, some violence should be done, I always said, absolutely, positively not. I won't even put that on my air. Let's go to Jason. Hey, Jason, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
Hey, Lars. I was just calling in because I was curious if you saw any hypocrisy in doing the including the guy that's a Bernie supporter into this shooting, like you were with Russia and saying guilty by association, how that's not right.
Well, no, I'm not talking about Bernie. I'm not, and I have not blamed Bernie Sanders for this man's actions. I'm just saying this man's motivation was apparently political. And what do we usually call, if there's a group, let's say some religious group, that decides that it's going to go murder people in the name of its religious cause, what do we normally call that?
Terrorists, I suppose, is what you call
terrorism.
Them.
And if there's an environmentalist group that goes out and does violence and either hurts people or destroys property, we call that environmental terrorism. And I've covered that plenty of times. In this case, this man apparently was driven by his political motivations. And I think, unfortunately, the nasty nature of political discourse in America today. You've got the Lars Larson Show.